Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of If You Know, You Know, the show for Web3 creators and enthusiasts. I am your host, Belle, and each week I'm joined by a panel of experts to bring you the latest trends, opportunities, and perspectives from the creators who are shaping the future of technology and art. Nothing we ever say is financial advice, and it's always important to do your own research. If throughout the space you have any questions or comments at all, please request to speak down below or type it in the bottom right-hand corner chat, and we'll be checking that throughout the show. I am super duper excited for today's conversation. We have the one and only Betty, the co-founder of Dead Fellas, which I have been a huge fan of. I'm going to give you my very transparent disclaimer that I have been a proud holder of Dead Fellas for quite a while, have been seeing, you know, the trajectory of Betty and of Dead Fellas for a long time. So I am a huge fan. I'm going to start off with that and give my biased opinion. Betty, how are you? I am so excited to have you on the show.
I'm good. I'm good. How are you? Thank you for having me. It's nice to be here.
For sure. Of course. All right. Betty, CEO, founder, horde mother of Dead Fellas. She is a, I don't know, I want to say an icon now in the space, right?
Thank you.
Yeah, seriously. You know, I'm in a position that I have been following you for quite some time before even the Dead Fellas drop, which, by the way, is coming up almost on 2 years, right?
Yes. Yeah. We launched Friday the 13th of August, 2021. So yeah, it's soon, which is amazing and crazy. And there's some things that I hope that we can announce by then or even for then, but we'll see how we go.
That's amazing. Friday the 13th for Dead Fellas is a big deal. I want to get into that a little bit more and maybe see if I can get some alpha directly from you. But, you know, that, I mean, that's what we do here. I would be remiss if I didn't try to get information from you, right?
Yeah, you'll probably hear some seagulls in the background. That's probably the only alpha that you'll get.
Oh, how funny. Where are you at in the world?
I'm in Ireland right now. I'm in Ireland. I was supposed to be, I had so many plans actually. And so many things booked. And then when I flew into Paris, was it like last week or the week before? I can't remember now. I burst my eardrum, which is so painful, guys. So I found a doctor in Paris and they were like, yeah, you can't do all. Well, first of all, they said, oh, you're not flying a lot, are you? And I was like, a little. And told her my schedule. And she was like, yeah, you'll go deaf permanently if you do all of that. So I had to reduce everything down, and now I'm still in Europe, but it's great. We're turning it into lots of opportunities. I'm probably going to be at Cannes Lions next week, which is fun, speaking and doing some meetings and stuff. So yeah, it's all good. And I get to visit my best friend who lives in Ireland, and I haven't seen her for a really long time, so it's good.
I love that. We always start off the show a little bit different with whoever we have on. But, you know, the name of the show is If You Know, You Know. And I want to start off with you because I feel like we have, I see a lot of familiar faces right now in the audience. And these are people who have been around for a long time and have been following you for a long time. And I feel like you are so transparent with the community on who you are and what you symbolize and what you stand for. But tell us one thing that we don't already know about you, specifically for the audience of If You Know, You Know. What's one thing, Betty, that you haven't shared yet? Like an interesting fact about you.
Oh my God, I didn't even know. What's an interesting fact about me? Ricky knows a lot about me. Maybe she could tell you a fact that she thinks is interesting another time. I don't know. God.
All right. Weirdest.
People know a lot about me. I'm kind of an open book. I do tend to talk a lot, and you know, people know a lot about me. So I don't know.
Weirdest combination of food that you like.
The weirdest combination of food that I like. I'm pretty picky, but I like, I don't know. I don't know, you guys.
It's like the hardest question
singing,
you're going to get today.
That's my fact. I can sing.
You can sing? I didn't know that.
I can. Yeah, that's my fact.
See, that's amazing. I had no idea. That's really cool. I had no idea. All right. Well, maybe toward the end of it, you can close us out every once in a while.
Not going to. Not going to.
That's
Not
like a
going to.
hard no.
Hard no, but I do want to make music at some point. I might not have any time for the foreseeable future with Deadfellas, but we'll see.
Yeah, you have an incredibly busy schedule. All right, before we get into started into a couple of questions, because I want to take it back to before we even got started with Death Fellas. I want to ask everybody of you in the room right now and want to share this with everybody else. Let's retweet out the space. I just pinned it up in the top so we can get some more people in here. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody, and for doing that. Betty, I remember listening to you on Twitter Spaces when you were creating the art for Deadfellas. And one of the things that I loved about your persona and who you are, talking about how transparent you are, is you used to talk a lot, and you always have, but I'm taking it like 2 years back, right? You used to talk about how you were balancing all of this and how you were spending so much time on the art, and you are a mother to small children, and how difficult. I remember listening to you on certain spaces, and you were literally in the middle of doing things with your kids, and you were also doing the spaces. And then, as time has passed, very quickly, you started traveling, you started doing all of these things. So, I want to ask you how you even got started. Like, why even NFTs? But before that, why even the art? And then from there, I have a couple of other questions as it relates to that, balancing out your life, because truly, you just said it yourself. I mean, the doctor told you stop traveling, for goodness sake. How do you do it all?
It's crazy. I'm not gonna lie, it's really difficult. I don't think balance exists. I think that you can do your very best to have like an equilibrium of priorities in that moment, and that it changes constantly. And sometimes you get to a point where you're like, oh damn, I've let things go too far one way, or not. Like, I think that especially recently, we've been working just so hard, and I think that I have kind of let it go a little bit, into the space where I'm not prioritizing myself at all, which is kind of a weird thing, because my kids are always the priority. So having three children and doing a job like this is kind of hard. Like, I'm not gonna lie, but yeah, you just have to let go of control of certain things. So like my like cleaning my house is not a priority for me. I try and get help doing that sort of thing. You've got to, there's a lot of guilt that you carry around, especially as a mum. So you've got to let go of all of that, which is, I don't know, it's a journey. It's crazy. The art that we spent so long on, shout out to Syke, who is the wonderful artist for Deadfellas, my co-founder and my husband. We worked together on it for a really long time, yeah, prior to launch, and it was just the most on. I know it was stressful because we were doing a lot of work, and we were working round the clock basically, which was a lot. We were in a lockdown as well, in Australia. It was in the middle of all of the COVID stuff, but it was so fun, because we had worked prior to that in the immediate months to that. We were running a creative production agency, and all of the really fun work had gone. It was like COVID explainer videos and all of that sort of thing, and it was really depressing, kind of very corporate materials. And then we all of a sudden had this outlet where we were like, oh, we are doing what we want to do, and pouring everything that we love into this art, and exploring the different things that we love as well. Like, I laughed so much in that time period, and I remember thinking in the moment, like, wow, I'm having so much fun doing this. And I couldn't remember how I like feeling like that about work in a while because of all of the COVID stuff and how it changed everything. So it was really cool, and it was important to spend a lot of time. But we were also very conscious of being able to get out, because I insisted on Friday the 13th. Because I just had to have it. So we really pushed towards the end, but everyone pulled it out. It was great. Yeah. It's cool thinking about that time, actually.
It seems like just yesterday almost, you know. I mean, I remember it vividly, and yet so much time has passed, really. And we've seen so many people come into the space and leave the space and come back and, you know, start other things, give up truly. You have remained as Betty, as Deadfellas, you know, you have remained native to the space, and not only like dug your heels into it, but like doubled down. I mean, you moved your entire family to be in a time zone in which it would be easier for you, and you were super transparent about that too. Talk to us about that.
That was crazy, yeah. So the determination that I have to be in this space and to succeed and to push things as far along as I can in all areas of what we're doing, you know, personally as well as with Deadfellas, it's because I truly believe in the potential of all of this. And but I mean, a lot of this stuff is no longer potential; like it's really happening. You know, you look at the brands that have been built thus far, and you see what they're doing, and you see who they're working with, and what they've managed to pull out in 2 years, you know, sometimes way less. That's so crazy to look at that, and you know, to think about what could happen in 5 years, 10 years, where all of this goes. It's really exciting. So I'm unwavering in the faith of where we're headed, and I'm also like very, very stubborn. And I have an ego. I'm not going to throw myself fully into something and then just give up. Like, absolutely not. We also see the back end of things. You know, there's many people working on things in this space that, from an outside perspective, you know, you might not see the full picture, but behind the scenes, it's just amazing to be here doing all of this stuff. And I can't wait to see those pictures fully fleshed out from everyone. You know, you're starting to see really epic things come out because we've all had time to be formalizing those, and it's just truly fun. Moving overseas was crazy, but it's not something that's outside of our experience as a family. We've always moved around. Before COVID, we were never in one spot for very long. We just worked online, ran teams all over the world, really, mostly in the Northern Hemisphere, and we would just kind of travel about. So my children were used to that. Moved to the US for various reasons, mostly to set up the entities that we needed to operate in the US fully, with, you know, most of the distribution stuff needing to service the Northern Hemisphere. We had the Southern all covered with Australia, but yeah, just making sure that we can set up to be a global brand. So it was important to do that, and it was important to be physically at certain meetings and stuff. Whether we stay there permanently is in the air, but as a brand, we will always be there permanently. It's fun. I mean, I don't think we've lived conventional lives to this point anyway, so none of it feels that part doesn't feel stressful, you know?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. A lot of people outside of like even, you know, I've been doing this for a couple of years now, and a lot of people surrounding me, like my family doesn't know exactly what it is that I do. You know, they don't really truly understand what Web3 is, much less NFTs. So how do you know, is that like the same for you? I mean, have you been that unconventional that it makes perfect sense? Or are you like the, you know, the Are you a regular person like the rest of us that's like, I do this day in and day out, but nobody around me really knows what I do? And it just makes it that much stronger, the relationships in the community that you build with the people that are inside of it.
I mean, to start out, the relationships within this space were invaluable because, yeah, nobody understood what we were doing, but it made sense that we were doing what we were doing to people that know us, and have seen us throughout our lives. Like, you know, my best friend who I'm staying with right now, she was never surprised. You know, my parents were never surprised. It wasn't like a we don't understand why you're throwing all of this into this type thing. It was never like that. But yeah, definitely confusion around what it means. But we've gotten to the point where, I mean, my mom has been listening to Twitter Spaces for 2 years now. Everyone in my family, and you know, all of my friends. I connected with some friends I got some sad news recently. Someone I went to school with passed away, and so I've been connecting with a lot of friends that I grew up with. And you know, we were together very, very young, and it's cool because some of them, you know, already knew about this space, and some of them didn't. And so those conversations are fun to have. Yeah, it's cool.
That's awesome. Do you ever experience imposter syndrome as a creator in this space, having started, you know, having gone so far? Because you, Deadfellas now has been able to partner with so many iconic brands in Web 2. You're getting to meet so many people within Web 3 and outside of Web 3. Does imposter syndrome ever get to you?
It used to. Yeah, it used to be a thing. I've worked really, really hard on myself to not let that in. Like the thoughts are still there, but I very quickly answer it within myself because, you know, there comes a certain point where it's like, if you're doing it and all of this is happening, you know what you're doing. You know, you're either really fucking good at your job, or you're an incredible imposter that has managed to convince thousands and thousands of people, you know. And that's the same for anyone that's experiencing imposter syndrome. You often find yourself in a job or doing something really cool and you're like, I shouldn't be here. How am I here? It's self-preservation to some point, right? Like we do those things to protect ourselves from the opposite reality that could be. And we also, I guess, don't lean into the possibility that we are good at what we do. So, I mean, there's people, most people listening, I recognize so many people here. You're all so good at what you do. And it's, you've got to be told sometimes by other people that as well, you know, for it to sink in. But no, it's definitely a conscious effort to undo those thoughts internally. They hold you back. It's self-sabotage, right? Which is a version of self-protection that is put into to protect us internally. But yeah, doesn't do you any good. So definitely try and train your brain to answer the opposite.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I think that we can be our own worst critics. And when we stand, when we stand in such a new space, and something's in like you skyrocket, depending on who you are, you know, what the brand is, it's really incredibly easy to fall into imposter syndrome. And so I love the fact that you're transparent about it. And you're like, hey, I kind of worked on it, you know, and move past it. But yeah, I think that it's a recurring theme inside of Web3, inside of any career, honestly, or any industry. But because a lot of the people in Web3 are so outward facing, we tend to see it a lot. So I appreciate your commentary on that and like your advice on, you know, how people can get past it.
I do think with certain people though, it's more prevalent and more the root of where your brain will go naturally because of external factors. So, in my position, I know, and because of who I am, like I can do the exact same thing as a guy. But I'm told that it's not okay. Whereas, you know, the guy will be celebrated, and that's the same for a lot of different identities and, you know, wherever you sit in that. So it can be something that's going to happen to you externally regardless. So like, if I know that I'm going to do something and I know I'm going to be told you can't do that, or you shouldn't do that, or blah, 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 you know, from external places, I can't also double down and do that to myself. Like you have to do things regardless and, you know, push forward, regardless of the feelings that you have internally, and then just do the thing, you know, and see where it takes you. And that's what I've been doing for quite a few, my adult life now. And I'm pretty proud of where I'm going and where we've been. So yeah.
There was a politician just this week that was speaking on a hearing or something and mentioned or questioned, are there any competent women who can come up and speak on behalf of Web3? And there are so, you know, obviously stupid ass, ridiculous commentary, right? It makes you want to kick that person. But truly, I can think of a gazillion strong women in the space who have to deal with that kind of shit every single day, myself included. This is a very male-dominated world that we live in inside of Web3. You have been very outspoken of the fact that you receive, you know, a lot of DMs, a lot of hate, a lot of things that are put in your way. And so, you know, I don't want this conversation to just be flowers and positivity. This is a real thing that you deal with within Web3 and establishing the brand. How do you deal with it? And what would you say to a woman who's coming into the space being like, yo, where do I fit in? How do I find my voice? How do I even get heard?
I would first say I'm sorry on behalf of the space, because I'm, you know, it sucks sometimes. It really does. It's not even DMs. Like, people, everyone sees it. It's all public. You know, the comments and the crazy stuff that goes down sometimes. It all comes in waves. So I tend to get breaks between the waves, which is nice. But yeah, I'm not going to lie. It's difficult. It's difficult. I'm a human being. And I'd say that a lot of the ideas that I speak about are not necessarily, you know, overly progressive or, you know, groundbreaking things. It's just typical stuff that you would see in the world. But because of the intersection that we find ourselves in this industry, it's like, you know, it's quite against a lot of the current of thought of the majority, I guess, which, or maybe even the vocal minority. I really don't know, but, I just kind of push things in the direction that I want to go in. And I think to anyone, because it's not just women, it's like that receive this sort of stuff. It's anyone that's saying something that they feel passionate about that maybe doesn't go with the status quo of you know, the majority, which is fine. I think the real thing to take away is you need to find your community. Like, you need to find people that you love and that love you and you feel safe. For me, it was necessary to even start. I didn't feel like I could even make a Twitter account at first before all of this stuff, before I even joined Web3. So you just have to find those, and that's stuff like Twitter spaces, it's Discords, it's like figuring out where you fit, finding that safety to then kind of explore from, and then go back to that safety if you need to, and, you know, take breaks when you need, and all of that stuff. I'm just a human, and I don't profess to be an expert on how to balance that or how to receive hate or trolling or anything like that, because it is difficult and it does get me down. And then that added with, like, you know, founder pressure, which is very typical of anyone that runs a company or especially publicly on social media. Yeah, it's a lot, but I do it because I love it, and the love for it and the joy that I get and all of the positivity far, 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 far surpasses any of that. So it makes it super worth it, and I get my energy and, you know, everything from those experiences, which are, again, yeah, just far greater than any of the hate, which honestly just serves to drive me more. And I think anyone would find the same.
I've met you several times in IRL events, and I want to talk a little bit about that from two perspectives. You doxed yourself at VCon a year ago, and that was a big deal. That was a really big deal. Do you regret it?
Yeah.
Are you happy with it?
I've had only a couple of moments where I've regretted it, and they were moments where I didn't feel safe. And I realized that, you know, once you open that box, you cannot close the box again. We work at a really weird, weird, weird intersection that is not typical, where, you know, you're kind of leading something, but you're not just working, you're like well known, and you've got a very public persona, and a lot of people in the space have this, and it's kind of a strange place to be, because it's like I'm just a normal person, and I know that, but then when you go to certain events, it can be like really scary. I've had really, really scary moments over the last 2 years, well, not the last 2 years, the last year, because it's only been a year, that sometimes make me regret it. But overall, I do really feel grateful that I've done it, and I am happy with the decision, because I think the representation and being able to be out there and meeting people and kind of move with that freedom was really important. I do maintain a bit of privacy still. Like, obviously, I don't work with my full name, and I'm very, very careful with where I live and all of that stuff. And that's honestly to protect my kids. I have three little kids that did not sign up for their mom to be working in this industry with like a lot of crazy people that can do crazy things. And that's not the life that I want for them. So there's like a wall that I have put up that I really demand to be respected, and people do respect that, which is nice. So currently it's great, it's good. Just got to be careful and like move differently in certain situations.
There's a fine line between, or at least from what I've seen in founders, in the expectation of founders and creators, in that people almost demand that you are, on the clock 24/7, that you are available to your community 24/7, that you are the loudest you can possibly be, because it all impacts the floor price, right, of whatever project it is that you have. But there are also so many introverts in the space that don't deal well with that outward communication, whether it be IRL or whether it be behind the screen. And so it's always been like, I've always been fascinated with the decision to dox yourself, because the balance between anonymity and accountability in the Web3 space can lead to a lot of things, right? It can lead to whether people trust you or not, and for different reasons, can lead to being relatable or not, and again, for a lot of different reasons. Do you have anything maybe on that end? I'd love to know your thoughts on that, like the balance of those people that are still doxxed, versus those that aren't, and as it relates to accountability.
Yeah, I think accountability and anonymity are funny conversations, because anonymity is such a cornerstone of Web3 and personal privacy and self-sovereignty around, your digital identity, but also how you present yourself online and in real life is just so important. I think though that in any situation, your actions are your accountability, right? The historical view of what you've done and what you've said and how you've acted doesn't go away, no matter whether you're anon or not. There's many people in this space that are completely anon, but they have a track record of solid actions that you trust over time. And that's how anyone is. Once if you burn that and you throw it all away, that's the same whether you're an anonymous identity that's built around, a fake name or a fake image or whatever, to whether you use your actual name and you choose to be out in the world. The same result happens. And, in both of those situations, yeah, you could create a second chance for yourself through another identity that you create. And I'm sure we've seen that without even knowing, many times. We couldn't really tell. So I think that anonymity should definitely be respected. The choice of how you portray yourself should be respected. And it's just a funny thing, isn't it? It's all around trust, and that doesn't serve you well sometimes, and sometimes it does. So I guess that's a matter of personal preference on where you choose to engage and who you choose to engage with. But yeah, it's definitely a conversation that really interests me a lot, especially having experienced it from both sides of, being anon and being doxxed. Although I don't feel like I've ever been truly anon, because I've always presented myself as who I am. And I think that's been important for me, because I'm not a person that can, well, I just talk a lot, don't I? I'm not a person that can like hold stuff back too much. And I like that, but it's not for everyone. And it's, I operate differently to say like Psyche, who is way less extroverted than I am, and we have different roles in the company, and that's okay, and that's good. I wouldn't expect anything different of him. He wouldn't expect anything different of me, and it's just a great dynamic that we happen to have. So that's cool, and I'm sure you see that in other companies as well. in Web3.
Yeah, the partnerships between, you know, in your case, in couples, and I'm sure there are several of them out there also, the unsung hero of the person that is there, you know, giving you all of the energy, like giving the energy to the person that is more outspoken and more forward facing. We don't talk too much about those people, but they are equally as important to the brand, the business, as it is to the person themselves. You know, I've seen Psyche and what in like his role in the community, and I have a lot of respect for people that wear the same hats that he does. So I'm glad that you brought him up.
Yeah, I mean, Deadfellas would be nothing without him. He is half of Deadfellas. We work together on everything, but you know, we pour equal amounts of ourselves into this in very different ways, and that's what makes it special, I think.
Absolutely. And I think that speaks to so many different opportunities that one can find within the Web3 space, right? You don't have to be a founder. You don't have to be a super out there. You don't have to be doxxed, really. There are a lot of different ways to navigate this space. I want to stick on the IRL component because last year, or maybe it was, last year and also this year, you were really outspoken about IRL events and the need to change them. Talk to us about that.
There's a few things I've said about IRL events. I'm gonna start with culture. I feel like a lot of brands in this space, you know, did the whole, they launched, they've got the community, whatever, whatever. But the community is really just everyone that's hoping to make money together and nothing else. There's no, you know, ethos binding them. There's no shared values binding them outside of like flipping and trading, which is a fine reason to come together if that's what you're coming together for. But then we would see people then try and create events around brands where they would get this community together, but they didn't know how to even connect in real life. That, you know, there was no common thread there. There was no identity around the community outside of the finance part of things. And so it just felt so empty. And we experienced this, I experienced this for the first time at NFT NYC last year, where I was going to events and I was like, wow, this is no good. You know, you throw people in a room that don't know how to speak to each other, that don't really have much in common outside of owning a JPEG, and chuck a DJ in there and expect people to have a good time. It's kind of crazy. But then when I experienced our event, I was like, wow, holy shit, this is it. Like, this is what, I mean, it was actually a very emotional, an emotional night for me. And because it was the first time that I had ever seen the community in real life together, connecting that way. And it just felt like going into a different world. And it was so very special and so energizing and so amazing. It looked completely different to any of the other events that I went to. You know, there were people from all over, all different kinds of people. It wasn't just like a bunch of guys with backpacks. It was the best thing ever. It was so cool. But there's the same can be said for a lot of events. I don't want to like trash talk all events, because now, you know, you see there are so many communities that have that. I want to shout out Zoratopia, because Zoratopia's events are absolutely amazing and have that same feeling that I get from Deadfellas events. I feel that at Zoratopia. It was just, you know, it's like tangible community and culture in a way that's like real and authentic and means something, and I love that so much. Then we'll talk about like the conference stuff, which is crazy. That's all exploitative garbage from a lot of the, you know, NFT insert city here type of things. You know, you're charging so much for tickets, you're not paying speakers, you're putting people on a stage for 10 minutes, there's like 1,000 speakers and they're all over the city, and it just doesn't mean anything. We've seen it done well a few times, which is great. I love VCon. Shout out to VCon. That was done well. NFT Paris was fun. The there's a lot of stuff that's happening in good ways, and we're going in a different direction. I think now everyone's kind of realizing, like, oh, that's a waste of time and money. And I think we're also realizing that we're fractionalizing the space. Fractionalizing? Fracturing? I don't know. Splintering off into different directions. You know, there's different reasons for different NFTs. And we won't be having conferences like NFT conferences, because we don't have, like, we never had MP3 conferences. Or maybe we did, but I wouldn't go to one, even if I cared about MP3s, you know? You want to go to what you want to go to. So there'll be, like, more Comic-Con type stuff or, like, tech type stuff. Yeah. Anyway, rambled on a bit there. Sorry.
No, I think all of that is really good. I will tell you from like a participant, right? And not just because I'm a holder of Dead Fellas. Dead Fellas has truly become one of the events of the year. Like, I can tell you that as soon as people start scheduling what they're going to do at any of these conferences, everyone is like, are you going to the Dead Fellas event? And I would say that number one is because they're really fun, but also number two, the community is really, really strong. Truly taken aback, you know, almost 2 years ago when I got into Dead Fellas. I mean, I still pop into the Discord. Like, there are plenty of other NFTs and communities that I have bought and that I have been a part of and that I hold very proudly. But when I go into the Discords or I go into the events or I, you know, engage with the community, they're not as alive as they used to be. And that's putting it very, very nicely. They're not as alive as they used to be. Dead Fellas is one that you've been able to hold up. And to add to that, you know, there are so many innovations that Dead Fellas is working with. You just launched something that was specifically for creators, streaming, which I think is really, really cool because, you know, the gig economy and the streaming, the content creation part of Web3 is almost the backbone of Web3. And so many people in the space are doing that. So, you know, going off a little bit on my own rant on that, but Dead Fellas really has been able to find a way into not just maintaining the community, but like elevating it and doing new things and trying new things and bringing new things, new different vibes to the community. How do you keep it as strong as you have been able to?
It's a combination of a few things. We have a really strong drive. Obviously, this is our life now and has been and will be. And that's cool because I love it. And I'm just so excited about where we're going. But I mean, it's the community. It's the community and it's the mods and it's the people that make what we're doing so special. They're the lifeblood of this company and the reason why we build things and why we continue, because they're it, you know. I mean, we're building a brand and the revenue streams that we have and that we're fleshing out are, yeah, to extend beyond the community. But first and foremost, the things that we've built and keep iterating on are to empower the core people that got us where we are today, because at the end of the day, without those people, we would be irrelevant. You know, I can try as hard as I like to make people care about what we're doing, but if they truly don't, they're not going to. It's their efforts and their discussions and their, you know, innovations that have helped make this special. There's people that just create things for creation's sake and to vibe each other up and to do nice things for each other. And that's kind of turned into a general theme in the Dead Fellas community. You know, a lot of people will come in and they'll join, and one of the first things they start to do is give people in the community things. They'll start to like create derivatives or like, you know, start hosting game tournaments or things like that. And it's kind of like, that's what you do when you first join and you make friends. And I don't know, it's just, it's so special. Yeah, it's so special. And I know there's so many communities have kind of gone completely quiet. I think that's just natural, to be honest, in all communities to be a lot quieter than it was last year or the year before. But yeah, it is really special. And the content creation stuff, I mean, yeah, you're saying it's the backbone of Web3. I completely agree. But I would say that no one's really focusing on it to empower the people in their community to create content as much as they should, because it's, further amplifying that effect of the community, and also the ability for them to fly, because there's, each one of the people in our horde, they all have a story to tell. They all have things to say and things to create. Many people don't even realize it at the time, and then we'll do like a art contest, or they'll be connecting with someone else in the Discord, and then suddenly, just feel like kind of trying something for the first time, find a new path for themselves. And it's also the confidence to explore creativity within themselves that you often don't find anywhere else. It's like that validation and that push that you need to get into a new thing, which is liberating and awesome. And I'm really pleased that we get to do that for people, because I know there's so many amazingly talented people in our community, and I'm excited to see what they do.
Yeah, speaking about the people in your community, I'm going to bring up one word that I know is going to emote a lot of emotions, and I would love to for you to talk to us about your thoughts on that. Royalties. You were super outspoken about this with very good cause. I want to hear it from you.
Yeah, royalties. Oh God. I mean, it's gone in a way that we don't want it to go, where it is now, what is it? I don't even know. 0.5%. Outrageous. Who in their right mind thinks that anyone can build at the speed that we've been building for the last 2 years at 0.5% royalties? I know that people are not buying NFTs and people shouldn't rely on royalties for revenue and all of that good stuff. But the reality is, to get to where we are today, and every other brand that is huge in this space and that has created this industry, has been built on royalties. The reason that brands have been able to raise millions and millions of dollars is because they were valued based on the revenue that they received from royalties. Without royalties, none of the companies would be worth anything. None of the companies would have been able to build anything. It's just wild to then have a handful of people, above, and we've like made it, and now we're able to build on things and do things that have never been done. And then just to turn around and shut the door on anyone else to come up. That's wild to me. That's so wild to me. It's this very crazy scarcity mindset bullshit, to be honest. And I'm so over even trying to argue with people about this, because it's nonsensical to have let this happen, for the profit of a very, very, very small few. It's positioned as, why should creators get this, or why should creators get that? Because it was working. That's why. Because it was working, and because the people creating the value of the people, for the people to flip, deserve something so that they can continue building cool things for people. It's just that circle has been stopped. So a lot of people have found themselves in a position where they're struggling. A lot of people don't have options to continue now. And it's just a slow death for a lot of people, which is very, very sad. It's very, very sad to see. I know that there's alternatives on the way. I know there's a lot of people building things to make sure that that does remain a possibility for people to continue coming up. But yeah, I don't know. And it's almost like very clever marketing to have convinced people that by them saving like the tiniest percentage of each sale by not paying that to the creator, that that's a good thing. Yeah, I don't know. It's the
Yeah, I know. I
worst.
completely agree with you, and we see it, right? I mean, we see the end results of that. So many people have left, and so many founders have stopped being able to do this full time or to really continue. There has been, the other side of it. The argument to that is, well, no one should be founding a project that is only dependent on royalties.
We all founded projects that were dependent on royalties. Every single one of us. Every single one. Doodles, apes, all of them. Like, they all were founded being like, okay, cool. We can make all this money. We can build all this stuff. Project where we can go. And then it's just cut for other people, so other people can't do that anymore. I know for a fact that there are people in the world that have the ability to create amazing, amazing things that don't have access to venture capital, that don't have the connections, they don't have the access required. They maybe don't even live in a place where you can even consider having those meetings. Those people had a way of breaking out of that and of translating their amazing ideas into reality through community building and through messaging on social media. It was an incredible moment in time, and it's been cut short, and I would like to see it return, and I hope it does. So, yeah.
On the art side of it, we've seen, some people take the stance of everything that we do is going to be royalty included. But on the other side of it, when you have marketplaces like Blur that has come in and like forced the hand of OpenSea and, other marketplaces to also lower the royalties for creators and for projects. Absolutely, that was the exit sign for a lot of them. Like that was like the stop sign for a lot of different people that were trying to build something to say, well, then that's it. My options are gone. Do you think that we ever get back to that to the making it not easy. Easy is definitely not the word, but more welcoming, because without royalties, what do you think are the incentives for people to want to come and build new communities within Web3?
I think people move back to, like, if it doesn't happen, there's different possibilities. So if it didn't happen, if no one was looking forward to that, and people were like, okay, what do? We move back to Web 2 models, which is regressive, crowdsourcing rather than launching projects with roadmaps. A lot of these projects were launched in 2021, don't forget, with zero roadmap, and the roadmap was created because of the royalties, because they're like empowered by all of this capital. They've got, the time and space to be able to quit their job and focus on this full time and employ other people. And it was a really crazy, crazy thing to see brands go from an idea to a fully fledged company and brand in, less than a year in many cases. There will be the incentive is that I think this space is built up by people that believe in something greater than themselves and not necessarily seen in the end of the road. We don't know where this is going, yet all of us are in this space right now talking about it, living it, doing it, being it. We are future thinkers, and people like that don't give up easily, and they certainly don't get put off by, bumps in the road. Maybe it can be a little anxiety fueled sometimes, but you push on and you continue regardless. And there are a lot of people that I know that, maybe their whole model was around royalties, empowering other people. Like I can see Ed in this space right now. Ed's project was the royalties from his project. A large portion of that was going to buying art from Black and Brown artists. That's gone. That isn't a good thing. So it's very nuanced, and I think that because there is that nuance and because there is value in that nuance, it will change and we will see an alternative arise. There are a lot of people that think this way, and we've kind of seen the alternative to royalties play out, and I think a lot of people are kind of weary of that now, and we're like, okay, there's only a few people winning with that whole model. Let's see what else there is. Don't forget, the first iteration of something is very rarely the best. So what we were doing in 2021 with royalties and how people were operating may not be the best version of this industry. We don't know, right? And so we've now seen the next thing, which is like removing royalties altogether, with marketplaces still maintaining their wonderful fees. And then we'll see the next thing, and it will keep going. It's iterations, and it can be a little distressing for a lot of people, but we'll get there in the end. I really do believe that.
Innovation and iteration, I think, is where it's at, right? Because without, I mean, you remain stagnant and you don't get anything at all. So it's either you keep it moving and figure out new ways, or it dies. The project dies. So yeah, I'm with you 100%.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I think that you're seeing a lot of people, though, pivot in really cool ways. And It's been sad to see a few closed doors. Like we've seen a few things kind of just stop. But I think that a lot of people are just this they believe in this stuff so much that they won't leave entirely. And the sentiment can be completely bearish sometimes, but I think that the sentiment overall as an industry, we lean into that sometimes because it's like engagement, right? And I think people just want to feel things sometimes, so they say wild stuff. But I don't think people really truly believe that there is no future in the space or any, when people say that, it's kind of, all right, cool, but why are you still tweeting with a Bored 8 profile picture? Why are you still here? If you truly believe that, you'd be gone. This is just for engagement, and it's true. So try, like, if you see crazy threads like that and you're like, God damn, why am I still here? Just think about, like, you'll see that person tweeting tomorrow, like, hey, I've got the allow list for this next thing, They're here for a reason. Try and look beyond the engagement farming stuff and just dig deep and think, like, why are you truly here? Why do you remain in this industry? What do you believe in? That sort of thing.
Are you talking about the person that, not the person, a lot of people do this. It's like every single week there's a new reason why tomorrow they won't be here and they're quitting. Every single week they're quitting because of X reason. And I'm like, my goodness, I'll see you tomorrow. This is like ridiculous.
I don't even know. Honestly, there's a few people that are like this that I'm like, man, if you believed anything that you tweeted, you would not have a Twitter account. You'd be well gone. You'd be well gone. I've had conversations with people that have tweeted crazy stuff like that. In DMs, like, hey, explain this to me. Like, I'm really genuinely curious why you're saying these things and where it's coming from and what you believe and all of that. And often it just goes down to people are bored. That's it.
Oh man, a lot of crazy shit happens because people are bored, and yeah, that's a lot of stuff happens. That's hilarious. I want to get to before almost coming up on the hour, and thank you so much, Freddie, for spending this time with us again. You mentioned before I forget, you mentioned Zootopia, and guys, next week we actually have Latasha on, and so I'm super excited about that because I too am a fan of Zootopia and Latasha and everything that's going on there. So, I wanted to ask you about how Dead Fellas is moving beyond Web3. You guys partnered with Wranglers, which is a staple in the American economy, as a brand, which was to a lot of people out of left field. Why in the world would an NFT project, be partnering with someone like that? I mean, how does that even happen? So what, and I know that when that happened, the vision of that's not where it ends. That I am a strong believer that that's where it starts for Dead Fellas. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, it's really cool. Brand building is a very exciting journey, and I have an idea of where I want to go, and then opportunities come up along the road. And my good friend Bobby told me once that a brand is only as strong as your ability to say no. And so we've said no to a lot of things, and I encourage anyone that is building a brand right now to be very discerning when you receive opportunities, like what it means for you, if it aligns with the mission that you have, if it aligns with where you want to be, or if, because too many of those diversions will knock you completely off course and you'll end up going in a completely different direction than when you set off. So it's very important. Wrangler made sense because of the way that the Wrangler team explained their mission and their goals, and how they saw the collaboration working. It aligned completely with what we wanted, and it was just really fun. It was a really fun collaboration. Their team is really awesome. Their willingness to lean into the tech and to be explorative with the way we presented it, the way we engaged the community. It was a really fun experiment. At the end of the day, that's what it was, because it wasn't done prior, and it was really cool. The way we're expanding into other areas is with a lot of fun, exciting stuff. Everybody knows that we have a gaming arm of Dead Fellas through Dead Friends. We'll have a lot of cool stuff on the horizon that we'll hopefully be able to illustrate to the community soon. We have media and entertainment in other areas that are also really epic. There's so much stuff going on. IP and brand building is a long game. It's definitely not a short-term thing. So the short term, you've seen some really cool stuff. Like the long term is way bigger and way cooler and already in full motion behind the scenes. So it's epic to me to see that. And like how everyone's like when announcement or like when this or when that. The kind of like thrill that people get when there is an announcement and they're like, oh my God, there's an announcement, that kind of notification, that is like amplified 100,000 times for me being the person that gets to say it. You know what I mean? Like the cool payoff of being like, oh my God, they're gonna love this. I finally get to say this thing and say the thing and people are happy and everyone's like, yes. And it's just kind of this, because it's like you celebrate. If I was building this brand with just the team and we were all celebrating amongst each other, that's cool. But getting to celebrate with like thousands of people is kind of mind blowing. That's one of my favorite things, I think.
That's got to be crazy. I mean, it has to be next level, party every day type of thing.
Party every day when there's party every day, maybe in a bull market. It's not definitely not a party every day in a bear market, but it's still fun.
That's very true. Last week you were in Paris and you were there for the event of Louis Vuitton, which is a big deal in the space. There were so many opinions on that. I want to get it from your perspective of someone that was there live and in person. How, let's start off with like, how did it even feel to be there?
It was wild. Are you joking? Louis Vuitton, like going to Louis Vuitton's house and sitting and eating a meal in the house and like getting to go and meet the people that create the stuff and like teach other people to create it. And it and like, oh my God, it was so wild. It was crazy. I think that no matter what you do in this space, you are going to be torn apart when it's something that's big, whether it's for the better or for the worse, like that is the reality. Going into it, I was on it. It didn't take me even a second to decide whether I wanted to work with them or not, because I was like, this is huge. This is a very big deal. This is one of the largest brands in the world, completely throwing themselves into this tech. Not in a way that's like, oh, this is a separate project or this is just like an experiment. Like, this is woven into everything that they do. It's on their website. They're onboarding their top clients that they have that are in Web 2. The first thing that you get is with this trunk is access to these keys, and these keys give you access to exclusive things that are released through the actual Louis Vuitton releases. So the first one is with Pharrell. Pharrell's first show at Men's Fashion Week next week in Paris. The item that is only available to via trunk holders is going to be there. And that's amazing. It's like it's a 201 person NFT. So there's only 201 people that will have it. It's not for everyone. So I know that the price is like people gawk at the price and gawk at the money, but it's like not everything that is released in this space is going to be for everyone and is not designed for everyone. We need to look at it in the context of the industry that Louis Vuitton is in, the consumer base that they have, all of that. To them and to me, it's important that the context is there and that people in the space understand why they're moving in and what they're doing and all of that stuff. So I'm happy that I was able to communicate that to people. Whether people liked it or didn't, it is what it is. But I am very proud of it, and I think that it is the coolest thing that they're just, jumping headfirst in and being like, this is how luxury fashion should be. Luxury fashion as an industry makes complete sense to be on chain. If anything, one of the strongest use cases that we have so far that can be like done immediately. So to me, it moves things along. It's not going to be for everyone because luxury fashion is not for everyone in the same way that like cars are not for everyone or like gaming is not for everyone. It's just a strong use case and it's a cool signal and a cool indicator to the rest of the world. Like, this is the way the world is headed and this is where people need to be looking, you know?
100%. It's a historic moment, not just for Web3, but for the fashion industry and for digital artifacts, right? For digital technology. I think that it opens up the door to so many other brands coming in on the high fashion side of it. And it opens up the door to just maturity in the space, honestly, to bring it to the next level. So, you know, I think it's awesome. I'm one of those people that was gawking at the price because I can't afford it. But at the same time, like, this is amazing for those that can. It's amazing technology. And being invited to the House of Louis, I mean, come on, that's incredible. So congratulations on those achievements. That must have been super duper cool. I hope that you enjoyed it. And I hope that you took a million pictures. And I hope that you, like, you know, share that with your kids when they grow up. I just think that it's an iconic moment in your history.
Thank you. Yeah, it was really cool to be a part of, honestly. It was great. And I think that it speaks a lot to their intention that they even reached out to people that were in the space already. Like, this is what we're doing. We want to invite you in and show you what we're doing and give you information and background and history and all of that. I think that speaks a lot to what they were doing. There's no assumption that like thousands of people in the space are going to buy this NFT because that it's not even possible. There's 200. It's that, you know, but it's important that people understand it. So I love that they engaged me in it and I was completely honored and I had the best time ever. And yeah, it was great. I'm excited to see what happens, and I'm excited to see the Pharrell show, which is also historical as part of their brand, you know, after the loss of Virgil. So yeah, we'll see what happens, but overall I think it's great.
Yeah, super cool. So I want to give you an opportunity before we start wrapping up. What should we be looking forward to in the life of Betty and also in Deadfellas? Because I think that, you know, Deadfellas as a brand in Web3 stands on its own, but so does the person, the brand of Betty herself. What are some things that we should be looking forward to? Where do we see Betty in a year from now?
I have so many things that I want to do, like so many things, but I am fully in Deadfellas and fully focused on Deadfellas right now. So that is, you'll see things from me that I do myself. Maybe I go somewhere or, you know, talk to someone, whatever that is. But the majority of stuff that you see from me is going to be from Deadfellas. And you'll see us in different countries, especially towards the end of the year, which is going to be fun. Psych and I are going to be spending some time back in Australia. I'll still be traveling to various places. We'll be hopefully in Korea this year. And again,
hey, Betty, you sounded really far away.
Oh, sorry. Am I here again?
Yeah, you're here.
The internet is questionable here, so I'm sorry. I'm glad we got this far. But yeah, other apart from that, it's going to be bullish communication on releases that we've got going and development that we've seen and what we've been working on this whole time. So yeah, I'm excited. The rest of the year is going to be fun.
To say that during a bear market is amazing, right? I mean, it's got to feel good.
Honestly, listen, I don't know if it is amazing. I think that it's actually kind of common. I think it's common because I think that there's so many people working really fucking hard. You know what I mean? Like, you'll start to see a lot of cool things from a lot of people. Like, the artifact stuff that they've been doing. I know they went quiet and everyone was like, oh, you know, they're not doing anything. It's bear market, whatever. People don't stop. We don't stop. There's a lot of us that we hear every day, all day, you know, working on weekends, working on nights, like constantly. Because we are completely dedicated to this. I am completely dedicated to this. So is Psych, so is the team. And that can be said for many teams in this space. You know, I am very lucky to have close relationship with many of the founders here, and I know firsthand that they're all working really, really hard too. So I can't be bearish on this space because I know too much, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's why we wanted to have you on the show. I super duper appreciate you coming on the show. We've been doing this already for quite a long time. Guys, this is episode 92. I posted it the other day that like half of 50% of podcasts and Twitter spaces don't even go as far as 14 episodes. But you know, I subscribe to the fact that Web3 is only getting stronger, in my opinion. And founders and creators are only doing cooler stuff in the space. And people are working just as hard as they have been 2 years ago as they are right now. And that is exactly why we do shows like this. So absolutely, Betty, I 100% agree with you.
Thank you. Thanks. Yeah,
I
this
want,
has been
of
fun. Thank you for
course.
having me.
So I'm so glad that you enjoyed it. Thank you. Thank you. You're always welcome to come up onto our show. I absolutely love having you on here. Guys, this is going to be it for today. I appreciate everybody that joined us and retweeted it out. If you haven't already, make sure that you're following Betty, that you're following Dead Fellas, that you're following my personal account, Bell NFTs, so you can stay in the know of all of the amazing speakers and topics that we have lined up for you. Next week, it's going to be Latasha, and I'm going to probably be starting her the show with one of her songs. If you haven't listened to Latasha or you don't know what she's building with Zoratopia, do yourself a favor and watch it and listen to it and become a part of that. Because seriously, talk about people doing cool shit in the space. We do the show every single Wednesday at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. So if you didn't know, now you know. And I'll see you guys next week. Have an amazing week, everybody.
Ela vem na cavalgada, toda tatuada, puta rara, puta mexicana, puta rara, puta mexicana, tom toma, 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 México, México linda, grita, grita alfa do Mandela, que é o nome do homem que te patrocina. Ele que banca sua brisa, menina, e tu desce com a tcheca na ponta da pica. Desce com a tcheca, desce com a tcheca, desce com a tcheca na ponta da pica. Desce com a tcheca, desce com a tcheca, desce com a tcheca na ponta da pica. Ele que banca sua brisa, menina, e tu desce com a tcheca na ponta da pica. Ele que banca sua brisa, menina, e tu desce com a tcheca na ponta da pica. Eu tô com o alfa nessa porra e nós só quer as puta rara que rala o joelho pra me chupar. No beco por cima sem calcinha, cê tá na pica de mini saia. Um alfa do Mandela. Mandela.